You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Some say money is bad for the soul, bad for the rock, bad for the roll, bad for the heart, bad for the brain, bad for yeah, everything, oh yeah!
Welcome, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. As it is the 3 o'clock hour, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Because it's all on the line, as they say. I am extremely happy to be joined by Kitty Richards. She's a senior strategic advisor at Groundwork Collaborative. She worked at the U.S. Treasury. Pretty smart people work there. She also worked at the D.C. Fiscal Policy Institute. She's recently testified just this month before the Senate Banking Economic Subcommittee on the need for reforming our tax code. And all of this is important, again, because we are in the tax fight of a generation, basically. The Trump tax cuts, which benefited the most wealthy people in the United States and the richest corporations, portions of that are set to expire. Portions of it won't expire, but they're still really bad ideas, and we need to do something about that. And we recently on Maggie and the Millionaires heard from Bob Ward. He's the Senior Vice President of Tax Policy at Patriotic Millionaires, because he also testified before that very same U.S. Senate Finance Committee. So let's focus in with Kitty. Thank you so much for making time. I really appreciate it. Not a lot of Republicans even bothered to show up for the Senate hearing, Kitty, which I find deeply disturbing. What were the key points had Republicans showed up to do their jobs and heard your testimony?
You know, what they would have heard is me describing how we can really move toward a tax code that actually works for working people and builds a thriving economy. And that is really, really different from the trickle-down economics of the last 40 years. And it's really different from the approach of the Trump tax giveaways to the wealthy and corporations.
Yeah, it's this term, trickle-down. I chuckle because if trickle-down had worked, we wouldn't see the most unequal wealth that our country has seen since the Gilded Age. I mean, we've exceeded that lack of equity in our country. If trickle-down worked, people wouldn't be feeling the economic pinch that they're feeling today. If trickle-down worked, we would see wages rising at a much greater rate. Instead, we're seeing corporate profit margins rising, right? And the rich getting richer and richer. But when I hear conservatives talking about those Trump tax cuts benefiting his billionaire boys club buddies and the richest, especially multinational corporations, I keep hearing these talking points saying, well, it paid for itself. It boosted the economy. It helped the middle class. That is a bunch of hogwash, isn't it? What does the data say? What's the truth here?
No serious economists think that. And to be honest, no serious economists co-signed the claims that the Trump tax cuts would pay for themselves. And they've been worse than anyone thought. If you think about the economic performance side of the ledger, there were these wild promises of $4,000 in increased wages for the average worker. None of that materialized. The increased investment we were supposed to see didn't materialize. And those claims were silly when they were made. It was not at all surprising that those things didn't pan out. And what we did see was that the Trump tax cuts cost even more than they were projected to at the time. And now they're doubling down and saying, you know, it wasn't far enough to slash the corporate tax rate by 14 percentage points. Let's knock off another 6% just to see if we can throw more good money after bad.
It is truly shocking. I like this phrase, No serious economist thought that it would do any of those things. No serious economist that has looked at it has concluded that it accomplished any of those things. These are not serious plans for middle-class people. It's very unserious, except for the disaster that it portends for working people in this country. Just moments ago, Kitty, you may be also aware, Donald Trump is in Savannah, Georgia, giving a speech doubling down on this tariff plan, which is effectively shows up as a sort of sales tax, again, a consumption tax, if you will, that impacts the middle class and working people far more than it will the investor class, the billionaires and millionaires that Donald Trump structures a tax cut to benefit at a scale that far outstrips any de minimis, tiny little benefit to the middle class. Republicans, again, seem to be focusing on corporate tax rates. They claim this is going to hurt small businesses if we can't slash corporate tax rates another 6%. But they don't seem to talk about the largest, most consistently profitable corporations and what, again, the good money effectively that we're throwing after bad. Well, again, help us get at the truth here. Will the corporate, does the corporate tax rate today harm small businesses? Would increasing it harm small businesses? Well, this is pretty nuanced, is it not?
Most small businesses do not pay the corporate tax. They pay taxes as sole proprietorships, as individuals. You know, you don't go out as an entrepreneur trying to start a restaurant or a dry cleaning business and incorporate as a C corporation right. and start paying the corporate tax. The vast majority of corporate tax revenues actually come from the largest, most powerful corporations, most profitable corporations, except to the extent that they are allowed through both deliberate tax cuts and massive loopholes and lack of enforcement to pay nothing in taxes. I think what would really help small businesses compete on a level playing field is if corporations were required to actually pay the taxes that they owe and were taxed, for example, on the profits that they shift into offshore tax havens at the same rate as businesses here in the U.S. are taxed on their profits from actually, you know, creating things here in the United States.
Again, a point of emphasis here, because I've heard this from callers, I've heard this from conservative friends of mine. Most small businesses, if they incorporate, tend to be LLCs. Those are pass-through entities, which basically mean you're getting taxed like an individual. These are smaller businesses. The vast majority of corporate tax is paid by massive S and C corps. And these are the sorts of corporations that engage in this gamesmanship where they expatriate, fancy words here, move profits offshore to escape their tax responsibilities here. Again, is it going to hurt? And why is there this fear mongering? Why do Republicans continue to talk about and try to scare small business owners when the reality is the small business owners, just like the rest of the middle class, are being harmed by the constant reduction of corporate tax rates that we've seen put in place by Donald Trump and his cronies in Congress?
I mean, the fear mongering is because massive tax breaks for the very wealthiest and the largest multinational corporations are really, really unpopular. Mm-hmm. And you see that in polling, you see that in people's reactions. I mean, frankly, you see that in the way that today in his speech, Trump didn't really want to emphasize exactly how far he was going to cut the corporate tax rate. That does not play as well as some of the other things he likes to say. And unfortunately, organizations like the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of anti-tax groups are dominated by folks who are really just looking out for the profit margins of like ExxonMobil and Microsoft and really, really large corporations and how they can cheat on their taxes. And so I think it's not surprising that given the dominance of those big, wealthy, powerful players, that folks are getting a lot of misinformation.
Yeah, when you can't, there's an old saying in the law, when you don't have the facts, you pound the law. When you don't have the law, you pound the facts. And if you don't have the facts or the law, you pound the table. The political version of that is if you don't have actual facts or analysis to pick up your arguments, you just lie about it and hope that people buy it. But there's a really potentially disastrous consequence that keeps becoming potentially more likely, or I should simply say more likely. And that is, frankly, increased destabilization of our democracy because of a shrinking middle class and people that feel like they cannot get ahead. Is there a linkage between how little we're taxing these richest, most consistently largest, consistently profitable and largest corporations in the United States, and how much wealth the ultra and ultra, ultra rich are hoarding, which leads them to impact our politics and policies more than any one of us with a single vote can?
Absolutely. And you see that everywhere from the workplace to the effect that Citizens United had on campaign finance and sort of blowing the doors off of the ability of the very, very wealthy to spend basically unlimited amounts of money supporting candidates that have their interests at heart. And it's also just been really bad for our economy and for the functioning of our government. You know, one of the big problems with the tax cuts of the last 40 years, you know, starting with Reagan, we clawed a lot of that back during the Clinton administration, but then the Bush tax cuts, their extension, then the Trump tax cuts in 2017, they've left us with a government that doesn't provide anything like the kinds of services that other rich country citizens just grow to expect. You know, I have conversations with folks in Canada asking if an IT job in the US would pay a little bit more than where they are. And you start to explain, well, but you have to pay for your own health insurance, and that health insurance doesn't even cover everything. And you have to pay for your own childcare. And, you know, our retirement system is private. You have to contribute yourself to that.
And they stay in Canada.
Yeah, they start to realize the costs. You know, we hear these plans to, you know, allegedly help workers by cutting taxes, but they're paying for it on the back end.
That's my very special guest, Kitty Richards, Senior Strategic Advisor at Groundwork Collaborative, talking about how we actually get the middle class ahead and the tax fight for 2025. More with Kitty when we come back, including, frankly, these corporations admitting that they're price gouging and putting their hands into your pockets. I'm Maggie Dawn. It is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Grab me some of that big fat money.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Because we are in the 3 to 3:30 time slot, it is time for Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. My guest today has been Kitty Richards, the Senior Strategic Advisor at Groundwork Collaborative. She's worked for the U.S. Treasury and the D.C. Fiscal Policy Institute. She testified this month before the Senate Banking Economic Subcommittee on the need to reform our tax code to make sure that it actually is fair. And by fair, I mean that it works to ensure a thriving middle class. When I say middle class, I mean basically anybody that gets a paycheck, anybody that's got a net worth south of $30 million. So even if you got a couple, $2-3 million in the bank, I'm not even talking about you. Actual middle class folks, that's what we're talking about. That's what democracy needs. And by the way, that's what capitalism needs, because the middle class is the one that consumes all the stuff that the businesses make. Kitty, before our break, we queued up the fact that businesses actually talk about the fact that they are keeping prices artificially high and pocketing the profits, not paying their workers more with the profits, not contributing their fair share to our infrastructure by which they transport their goods and goods around the country, not investing in capital improvements for their business, not using those profits for research and development. And indeed, just an hour ago, the U.S. Department of Justice announced a lawsuit against Visa for artificially stifling competition in the debit card market to drive up profits even more. This is happening across all sectors. Talk to me a little bit, Kitty, about the fact that this is out in the open. They talk about this on earnings calls.
That's something that Groundwork has worked a lot on. And we actually had someone listening in on earnings calls, especially during the post-pandemic inflationary period. And yeah, you hear CEOs, and look, they're in it to make a buck. And they're describing how they're going to do that and how they are going to provide shareholders with profits. And the way they're going to do that is any chance they have to jack up prices and depress wages and hand the money over to shareholders, they're going to take it. And they confess to it on their earnings calls. And I think it's important to understand here that the pandemic created a lot of opportunity for this behavior. Mm. And corporations, understandably, took advantage of that opportunity. But what we also saw was collusive behavior and just taking cover under the fact that, you know, ordinary people were sort of looking around and seeing prices go up. And so any individual company could kind of signal to their potential competitors that they were going to raise prices and then raise them and see if other people followed suit. And it really created a spiral. And, you know, a lot of folks were blaming workers for inflation, saying that unemployment was going to have to go way up to bring inflation down to avoid a wage price spiral. Mm-hmm. We never saw anything like that.
Right.
What we saw was a profit price spiral.
Yeah. I feel, Kitty, and I'm an economist by academic training, not practice, but we used to hear when I was back in graduate school, we used to hear about this wage price spiral. And by the way, folks, what Kitty and I are referring to is where prices are going up because wages are going up, and that all has this sort of catapulting impact on inflation, and it can get really out of hand very quickly. Of course, the reason that this period felt so terrible for everybody with a net worth, you know, south of $30 million is in part because we didn't see the wage floor go up. So you just had prices going up. But again, corporations were pocketing those profits or giving them away to CEOs in massive pay packages or their largest billionaire shareholders like Rupert Murdoch, et cetera, and Warren Buffett, and stock buybacks, which are just cash giveaways to massively wealthy people. And we weren't seeing those wages grow up. So we didn't see that spiraling. And they talk about this stuff on the earnings call. I've got a term for it. Kitty, I hope you use it. I call it pandemic profiteering. We talked about war profiteering back in the wakes of both World War I and World War II. That is exactly what we saw here. We've also heard a ton about Project 2025. And I talk about it a lot in terms of various policies, especially as they relate to things like, for example, women's healthcare. But Project 2025 has a bit to say about tax, and you know a little bit about what that might mean for the middle class. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of wild tax plans thrown out there, including Trump's plan to slash the corporate rate yet again, and provide even more tax cuts to the wealthy. But Project 2025 is really quite extreme, even by those standards. And what you find when you look under the hood is that their complete overhaul of the individual income tax would end up raising taxes on the typical family of four by something like $3,000 a year, while giving literally millions of dollars a year in tax cuts to the wealthiest taxpayers. So it's really blowing the doors off of the the just march toward ever larger tax cuts for the wealthy. And, you know, these tax cuts would come directly at the expense of low and middle income people, both in the taxes that they would have to pay and in cuts to the services that they rely on, like education for their children.
A real basic example that I sometimes cite is this. If you go to a public park, it likely means that you don't have acres of playfields in your backyard because you are extraordinarily wealthy. And public parks are not mandated services by local governments. And if we starve government, it is usually the middle class that ends up paying the price, because our parks, as well as the essential services that we all rely upon, end up being cut while the billionaire and millionaire class gets wealthier. Thank you so much, Kitty Richards. She's the Senior Strategic Advisor at Groundwork Collaborative. I really appreciate your time. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by producer Jess's dad. I'm so excited. His name is Neil Plotkin. He was a glutton for punishment, ran against Alberta Darling back in the 2020 legislative race. We'll have more with Neil after these brief messages and your farm update here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.